Hey, this is Michael Emery. Thanks for tuning into the Slow Baja. This podcast is powered by Tequila Fortaleza, handmade in small batches and hands down my favorite tequila.
I always say, ask your doctor if Baja is right for you. Well, right now, folks, it's the open enrollment period for the Slow Baja Vintage Expedition. For vehicles 1993 and older and motorcycles 1980 and older, and I'm not going to tell you any more about the motorcycles because the motorcycle side is already sold out, teamed up with Adam Sheard at Speed Deluxe, and that side is closed. So if you're coming, on four wheels. It's October 15th through the 20th, 2023. We're going to start out at a hotel. We're going to end at a hotel. We're going to have four nights of camping under the stars on private land. We've got a chef and a team that's going to prepare fabulous, fabulous food. We've got great dirt roads, good people, and great old trucks. If this sounds like the way you'd like to experience Slow Baja, well, you got to reach out. The information is at slowbaja.com on the new adventures tab. You can click the Slow Baja Vintage Expedition at slowbaja.com/adventures. And if you're ready to pull the trigger and sign up, well, over there at the Slow Baja shop at slowbaja.com, you can click on the deposit ticket and pull the trigger. And I will see you in Baja in October at the Slow Baja Vintage Expedition. Next event I want to tell you about is the Slow Baja Rally. Now, this one doesn't have many rules. It's February 23rd through March 3rd, 2024, and it's for anything you've got on wheels. So if you've got a Sprinter van, if you've got a Vespa, you can do this event any way you want. It's really about going slow and saying hello, community, camaraderie. Going to have a big party before we leave in San Diego. You're going to get to meet some travel buddies. And for those folks on the dirt, you're going to have some friends with you. And for those folks on the pavement, you're going to find some folks who want to travel with you and at your pace. And again, what we're doing here is being where we are, fewer miles, more smiles, getting into camp. We're going to have the pre-selected campsites, getting into camp during the daytime, putting up your tent, popping open a cold one, sharing with your neighbors. Maybe you're going to cook a little meal together. You're going to play a little free-form bocce ball on the beach or go for a swim. But it's really a much more relaxed pace than some of these other rallies that need to be the biggest and the baddest and cover the most miles. We're going to cover the best miles with the most smiles. I guarantee it. slowbaja.com/adventures for more information. It's the Slow Baja Rally, February 23rd through March 3rd, 2024. Hey, hello. Thanks for tuning in to the Slow Baja today. My heaping dose of gratitude goes out to Nathan Stewart at Legends Overlanding. You know, guides need guides, and I got Nathan to run us around Baja. We had about 1,100 miles in his Ford Raptor in the last week, and we dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's on all the roads and all the campsites and every last little detail for our Slow Baja Vintage Expedition that I'm running with Adam Sheard at Speed Deluxe. He's got the moto side of that, which, of course, I don't need to tell you anything about because it's already sold out. But if you want to join us, we're going to have a great route. And thanks, Nathan Stewart, for helping us nail it. Okay, today's show is with the wonderful Marty Harriman, H-A-R-R-I spells Harriman, something like that. She's got a little jingle that she sings for you. Marty runs Baja by horse, and she's got about 1,000 acres at Rancho La Pila up in the hills above La Misión. She's just a wonderful woman. If you need a little vacation, if you want to sort of disconnect to recharge, Rancho La Pila is the place. And without further ado, Baja by horse with Marty Harriman today on Slow Baja. Well, thanks for the strong coffee. I'm ready to go. Marty?
I'm ready to go. We're on.
Where am I? What are we doing here?
You're at Rancho La Pila with Baja by Horse.
Baja by Horse, Marty Harriman?
Yes, Harriman.
All right, we're going to do that one more time. Harriman.
Harriman.
It's Harriman.
Kind of like H-A-R-R-I-M-A-N spells Harriman.
Harriman. Harriman. All right. Well, where the heck are we?
We're in La Misión, Baja California,
and your
beautiful
ranch.
Actually at Rancho La Pila.
And it's Baja by Horse.
Baja by Horse.
With this Marty Harriman.
Yes, with Marty Harriman.
Well, I'm just stoked to be here.
I'm really glad you're here.
Took me a long time.
I know, but I follow you. You know all my great friends, so I figured, you know what, this guy's got to be okay.
He's got to be okay. He's got to be working his way over to me someday soon.
Someday soon.
We got to welcome Slow Baja. Bienvenidos, welcome Slow Baja.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well,
I'm not an artist, obviously.
It's pretty dang accurate representation. There'll be a photograph of that on Instagram, folks. So, hey, well, you know, I'm just thrilled to be here. The sun's going down now. We're outside of your kitchen. You made some beautiful strong coffee. The temperature's dropping here.
Cheers.
We had some rain and there's snow in the mountains in Baja. So we're going to get onto it before we start freezing.
You bet. I'm on it.
Wait while I swig my coffee there. Hey, so tell me about your Baja journey. You're a San Diego girl, yeah?
I'm a San Diego girl. My mom and dad were very, very adventurous, loved Baja. So we started coming down here in 1961 and came upon La Misión through some friends of my dad's work. And back then, the owner of La Misión, proper of the beach and the hill area, he had bought it in 1947, was John Stucker. And he had created the first subdivision in Baja California. And he would have a drink with you, either a margarita, preferably a martini. And if you were like-minded and he liked you, he would sell you a lot.
Wow.
And then
I like
from
the way
there,
that works.
you would build a house with no electricity, no phones, no nothing. We would come down. So we built our house in the early 60s, and that was our kind of playground. And I found horses. And that was my, you know, as I got older, that was my treat. Okay, you can have a horse for a week. You can have a horse for a month, you know, and it was one of those. And, oh, honey, all those horses are yours. So I would get a garden hose and go round one up and jump on bareback and ride till I fell off. And that's how I learned.
And the garden hose was your
lasso.
I was going to say your halter. It was your lasso.
Oh, yeah. I think it worked as everything.
And so you were just barebacking.
Yeah. And then all the little old ladies on the hill would say, oh, that little Harriman girl's going to fall. And of course, you do fall, but you get back up.
Yeah. So. Well, I don't think I've told many people this. I grew up on a little ranch. We had 10 acres. We boarded horses, and I just used to ride bareback all the time, just a little halter. And then one day the owner of the horse was coming and the horse saw its owner and bolted, and I got hit in the head as we went under a tree branch, and I went, I don't think I like this anymore.
Oh no. Well,
so I'm gonna have to come and ride with you.
I'm your girl. Because I love taking a bad experience on a horse and making it you're gonna come back and bring your whole family. That's one of my favorite things I do. And everyone has a bad horse story. Trust me, you're not alone.
Yeah, and I think we ought to just get right into the part of your story, which I find so compelling. You said that horseback ride can cure just about anything.
Horseback riding is, you know, people pay a lot of money for therapy. I get on my horse. That is my therapy. And I don't know, you know, there's something about it. You're out with nature, I left kind of the inland beach, all of that stuff, just to be able to bring Baja to people. This is old Baja out here. I have about 1,000 acres, and it's amazing. And I have cattle and horses and chickens and cats and dogs. It's a ranch. But when you're out there, you know, you've got no phone, you've got no service, you've got no, you unplug, but you recharge.
That's profound.
I can't tell you how many people just, they leave here and they're like, Marty, I feel different. And all walks of life, you know, every single person that comes here leaves with something, but mostly they leave with their batteries recharged to go back to the city. And you know what? I've created basically a family out here. Everyone comes back. I have an adult orphanage. They all want me to adopt. So we call it Marty's Adult Orphanage.
I like that. I like that. Well, let's get back to those early days. So you're here. Your parents are building a house. You're doing Baja in the early days. So it must have taken you a little bit to get down through Tijuana and then down the road before, long before the toll road, of course, to find this place. It must have felt like you were
Away from everything.
Away from everything. And you found wild horses, I take it. Just, you know, kind of
they
moseying
were, I
along.
Thought they were wild.
They were somebody's.
But they were actually
they were not in a corral.
Someone.
They were not in a corral.
They were not in a corral, no.
Exactly.
And that's how it was back then.
Yeah.
Well, there was no toll road yet. So mind you, we would come through Tijuana, and there were what we called the cardboard houses mm-hmm. along the riverbed. And they knew our van. And they could see it before we crossed the border because we would stop with clothes and food. And
gifts.
It got to the point
gifts
where they would
everybody.
Know we were coming. So we would have to start throwing the stuff because they would like, you couldn't see out of the car. And I kind of would get a little scared as a kid. But then we'd get, make our way through there. And then, you know, you had the year of the bridges where they decided to fix every bridge. I think that was probably the 70s. Rather than do one bridge at a time, they put like two people on each bridge. That's the way it felt as a kid. So
there were some slow detours.
There was some slow Baja.
You got some slow
detour.
Baja.
Yes, we were deaf. You'd go off the road sometimes, and there was always un solo carril, yeah. which was like one car at a time. Well, you'd mm-hmm. meet a semi.
Right.
Well, they win.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was the journey to get down to La Misión for many, many years. But then when we got here, it was paradise.
So from the first house, at what point did you get back into these hills and find this paradise?
Well, as a kid, I'm pretty sure I rode out here because I rented horses from a man named Fido Crosswhite, and who I thought was my grandfather. So I became a Crosswhite just by, I don't know, osmosis and blue eyes. He was a Irish descendant, and as was my mother. So I would ride out here, but then when I started having a horse, I bought a house up the hill from my parents 30 years ago. My parents have since passed away, and I sold their house, or they sold it like 15 years ago. So then I had my house, which I still have in town. But I don't go there anymore because why?
You're here on the ranch.
I'm here in paradise. So I kind of left. That started getting busy over there. I know people will laugh that you think La Misión's busy.
It's all relative.
But this is how I grew up. It was not a lot of people, there were animals and they ate your flowers in your yard and you chased cows out at the middle of the night and horses. So that's what I do now here. So I feel like I've just gone back to my youth.
Gone back to your roots.
Yep.
Well, tell me about Rancho La Pila. You've got water here. That's why it's here. That's why you're here.
There are springs here. There's springs and...
Hence the name.
Yes. And the big Pila that you, when you came in, you saw, that was the original Pila. Pila is basically, in English, you would say a cistern. So it's something, it holds water. And it was meant for the cattle and the horses when they were running cattle through this land. That was the Pila that held the water. And then now people swim in it, the horses drink water. I mean, it's kind of everything. This particular one, there are several different Pilas on the ranch. It's all gravity fed from this first canyon. There's two canyons, two Pilas. The first canyon that comes down fills a Pila, that gravity feeds this Pila and all the water on the ranch that you use.
And are there hot springs anywhere nearby?
No. No, I know there are some in Ensenada.
Right.
Yeah, but we have no hot springs.
I saw the big swimming pool on the way in, the building,
oh,
the
yes.
green place.
Yes, that's
an old one, isn't it?
Yes, that's yeah. Ernesto Reyes.
We tried to go there once and it was closed many years ago, but
yeah,
bumping around dirt roads trying to find interesting things.
Yes.
When people would just tell you stuff before it was all on the internet.
Right.
Yeah, you go down this road, turn
go down
here,
there,
go
yeah.
there.
Go left at the horse.
So, when I called for directions, mm-hmm. You asked an important question, coffee or beer? Tell me about the culture of offering some hospitality when guests are arriving. The mountain culture, the vaquero culture, the coffee culture. Of course, I recently Rand Paul Ganster's recollections of traveling with Harry Crosby, with the new Harry Crosby documentary out.
Yes.
I reran a story from a couple years ago, an interview from a couple years ago with Paul, who rode with Harry in 67 on the El Camino Real.
El Camino Real, yes.
Just talking about every ranch that they would ride would come with the coffee.
Yep.
And when you think about the work that went into procuring that coffee, roasting that coffee,
and they would grinding put it in that coffee
in the sock, exactly.
Yes, you know exactly. About the sock. Yes.
Yeah. And so, tell me about the culture of hospitality that's just part of Baja.
That's what made me fall in love with Baja.
Exactly.
Was the culture, the people. I mean, I basically thought I was Mexican until I was probably 12, and they're like, "Honey, you know."
For those not sitting here, Marty has very blonde hair, blue eyes. You know, there's some blonde hair, blue-eyed Mexican people here.
There are.
Descended from whomever.
I grew up, my mom was an English teacher, English as a second language, and also taught citizenship. So the Mexicans loved her. She was, you know, just gold to them. And so when we would come down, you know, all her students would invite us to these huge parties, and we would go, and I was like, God, those girls are so young to get married. And yeah, I was probably 15. It was their quinceañeras, not their wedding, but it's very so as a kid I thought, wow, they get married really young. Come to find out that was what I was going to all those years. But the culture itself of the Mexican people is why I'm here and is why I moved out to this ranch, because you know, I know enough Americans, and I have pretty much won the lottery here, because basically living this ranch life, people might think it's lonely. But I have guests that come and ride with me, and I get to show them this beautiful place. You know, we spend anywhere from 3 to 10 hours together. We'll do cattle. We'll ride under the full moon. We'll play the piano, the guitar. We eat. We talk. We have coffee or beer.
I've seen a little tequila in the kitchen. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. There's tequila. Oh, and there's Bacan Lola. Hey, watch out for your camera.
We've got an assist here from Vodka.
Yes, we have an assist.
We have an assist from Vodka.
So,
hola, Pedro.
Anyway, that's kind of, you know, my greatest gift is that I have these wonderful people. And then they go.
They leave.
They leave. And so then I have my wonderful space to myself.
And you can recharge for the next round.
And I can recharge. But my people are so amazing. I mean, like, they know, all my guests, they bring me coffee. They'll bring me their favorite. Oh, Marty, you got to try Lost Bean. You got to try LA Coffee Mill, whatever. I'm a Pete's girl, but Starbucks, anything. But they bring me half and half, because that's the one thing that I can't get fresh down here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they'll bring me dog food, whatever I need from the States. Mm-hmm. So yes, I've created a really, really,
I was going to take a picture of Vodka helping me with this podcast. Okay.
So that is how I deal with, I'm never lonely, because I know I've got people coming. I have a group of six coming from Chicago. I pick them up at the airport, and then they'll stay with me. I have 2 cabanas, and then the little house, and then couches in here. Most of the time, nobody ever wants to leave each other. We're sitting by the fire, and everybody's talking and throwing a few back. And
you just kind of stretch out on the couch.
You stretch out, and you put a blanket on them, and you see them in the morning with coffee.
Strong coffee. So let's get right into what you offer here. It's Baja by Horse, Rancho La Pila. Obviously, it's a guest ranch. People can come and stay.
They can come and stay.
What's the regular?
I usually vet the stay people.
Yeah, I was going to say. So you can come for the day and ride for a few hours,
and
then bye-bye.
Yes.
And then if you want to stay, if you're okay with a couch or a cabana or what have you, let's go through that. What's really on offer?
So I have a website, Baja by Horse.
Be in the show notes, folks. Yeah. Baja by Horse.
So basically, people book a ride. So they'll say, hey, Marty, I've got 4 people. The first thing I do is get your heights and your weights and your experience level so that I can get you on the perfect horse so that it's safe and that you're comfortable and that the stirrups are the right length. If you've got a 6'5", 200-pound person, I'm going to put you on one of my Clydesdale walkers.
Yeah.
You know, I have a range of ponies to very large horses. But I do have a weight limit. So the people come, they can sign up for, you can do a full moon ride at night. You can do a 3-hour ride. You can do a 5-hour ride. You can do a cattle drive. There's all kinds of different opportunities out here, different rides, different places. Usually they'll start out and we do this loop here that's about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then they're like, Marty, I want to come back. And then I do another ride and we go up to the top of the mesa. And then there's another ride that goes up the riverbed. It goes on forever. You can come out. I've had friends come and we just put a sleeping bag on the back of the horse and you can go camp on the property. But all of that needs to be scheduled and the people need to be vetted. I don't want serial killers.
Hey, before we get into that, let's take a quick break and then we'll come right back.
Okay.
With Marnie Herriman and we're Baja by Horse.
Yes.
Rancho La Pila. And we're just going to take a break. Okay.
Are we doing okay?
Yeah, we're doing great. I just need to give him a spot that he can put in the Baja Bound ad, which is important. Baja Bound. Gotta love Baja Bound.
I love Baja Bound. I love Jeff. I love everything about Baja Bound. They are the bomb. The bomb, Baja Bound.
When you're ready to be with the best, that's what I always think about.
He's got you covered.
When you're leaving those old jalopies behind and you're driving your Lexus, you better have Baja Bound, folks.
You better have Baja Bound.
All right. Marty said it best.
Yeah.
I love it. Since 1990, serving Mexico travelers since 1994. Baja Bound. Big thanks to my new sponsor, Nomad Wheels. They stepped up and sponsored the Slow Baja Safari class at the Nora Mexican 1000. And I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but Slow Baja is running a set of 501 convoys in utility gray, and they look pretty damn sharp. They were a little shiny. I will admit that. They were a little shiny when I got them installed at Basil's garage just before the Nora Mexican 1000. But after, I don't know, 3,800 miles of Baja dirt, they look perfect. They really do. NomadWheels.com. That's right. Check them out. Reflecting a minimalist approach to off-road travel. NomadWheels.com.
Hey,
we're back.
Hey,
we're back. Rancho La Pila. We're just talking about what's on offer here and how you select the right horse for the right person. And I've had a question for a long time about horses versus mules. I know Baja's big mule country.
Big mule country.
You're in horse country here. You're not doing the through the cactus kind of stuff that...
Yeah,
you know,
there's definitely mules here. It's a whole different... I would have liked to have had a mule. I tried, actually. But mules are just... They're good for packing. They're good for going off-road, and they can go anywhere and do anything. We just had our recent cabalgata, which is basically a group of people that have like mind, like want, like everything. They want to ride a horse with a group. There were 320 of us last weekend.
Wow.
And there were several mules on that ride. There's a couple of my friends in town that have mules. I don't have any. I used to ride a mule.
I look at those mule people and say, what's with them?
No. I used to ride a mule up in the Sierra de Juarez at Rancho El Topo.
And that's the right spot for them.
And that is the perfect
spot
for them. Yeah.
Got to have the right thing.
You could have a mule here. I'm not saying you couldn't. I just don't have one.
Mule rides at the beach, just not flying with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I actually don't do the beach anymore. I'm.
You're up here.
I'm here and I'm happy.
Can we get into, we met your vaqueros.
Mm-hmm.
We met your vaqueros, we met your dogs, we met your
the whole fam.
Kit and caboodle.
Well, no,
here.
You haven't met everybody.
Can you tell me a little bit about the vaquero life and how it's still real and still happening here in Baja?
You know, it is alive and well. And
the cabalgata
and
the whole thing, yeah.
You've come to the heart of, you know, that vaquero culture. La Misión was founded by vaqueros and... You know, I'm going to give you a story to take with you. It's the history of La Misión when you leave, because it's really, really gives you an insight into how this whole place was kind of found, and the Crossweights, who are a family that you need to interview. But you know, the descendants, the people who came and who discovered this, you know, and the horses, and, you know, how beach property was not valued because it wasn't arid and it wasn't, you know, farmland.
You get tired of clams eventually.
Yeah. It was like, get rid of that stuff. Give us some farmland. So, but yes, the horse culture and the vaquero culture is alive and well in La Misión. I mean, if you drive down the road, it's pretty likely that you'll see someone stopped at the grocery store picking up groceries, or just going to their neighbors, or training a horse, or
on a ride, somebody on horseback.
Somebody
everywhere.
On horseback. Yeah. It would be shocking to drive through La Misión and not see someone on a horse. It is horse country.
Is the Baja culture rooted in this vaquero lifestyle? Is that where it all comes from? The ranch life, the vaquero life? I mean, how do you parse that?
I do believe that it is, comes from Baja. I mean, you can do your history and look into it, but there are stories that say the vaqueros came from Baja. You know, that is where the United States vaqueros, all of it started here in Baja. I'm not saying here in La Misión, but I mean, I'll take one for the team and say that. Yeah. There's some areas down below the Melling Ranch in, in the mountains of the Sierra de Juarez.
Those San are Pedro some, de Martir.
Yes, San Pedro de Martir. Yeah.
Haven't been there in a long time. I was at Rancho El Coyote a couple years ago.
El Coyote,
but I haven't been to the main Melling Ranch in the main 20 Melling, years.
Yeah, 20, very
20
lovely
plus
people.
Years. I need to go.
Yeah, lovely people. And the condors. There's a lot, lots of beautiful stuff. Baja has so much to offer. I mean, obviously I'm a horse girl, so I kind of do the horse thing. But I'll tell you, Baja is alive with so much and has so much to offer, you know, beyond clubs and tequila. It's an absolutely epic.
And tell me about some of the places that you like to go.
In Mexico?
Yeah, and here in Baja, if you're getting away from the ranch.
If I were getting away from the ranch, my next stop is down to La Paz to visit Trudy and also my friends. I think you met Polo and Reggie. They're doing a lot of things to like save the whales and save the dolphins and save the planet. You know, that's what I'm like in love with them.
These are all Slow Baja alums, folks.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So
we had a little taco day with Polo.
Yes.
I haven't met Reggie yet, but Trudy, I hope to see her on this trip as well. What a terrific human.
Yes. Yes. So many wonderful people.
And so for you, for La Paz, are you flying out of Tijuana? Are you getting in your truck and driving?
I kind of would like to get in my truck and do that route because that's what I did as a kid. Although as a child, you know, as a youngster, we would fly into La Paz and then we would go to Rancho Bonita, which I'm a fisherman at heart also. That's one of my fishing, horses, and photography.
I knew I liked you. Fishing.
Yeah, so I fish.
Fishing, horses, and photography.
Yes.
On Slow Baja with Marty Harriman. That's a pretty good one. Let's go. So where do you like to fish?
Well, right now I do, like I'll do a six-pack out of San Diego, and then they come to Mexico, but then I'll go jump on a boat down from Ensenada and go out and get the tuna. You know, whatever I catch, I come home and can. Mm-hmm. And so I do all my own canning, and I have my tuna, and I do jalapeno in it. I do garlic. I do dill and lemon, whatever. But yeah.
I think our vehicles just broke down, Michael.
Yeah, I was just thinking. You know, I was having some problems stalling on the way in. We might have to stick around. Wonder if she's got a couch open tonight in the fireplace.
Well, and then I do Alaska. I'll do my salmon and halibut. So yeah, I'm a fisherman. Grew up.
Point south, you said you'd fly down when you were younger.
When we were younger, we would fly to La Paz, and then there's a spot called Rancho Bonita. Now, I don't even know if it's still there. I believe it is. It was the Red Fleet, and it's between San Jose de los Cabos and La Paz, about halfway in between.
Right.
And we would just go and fish, usually Thanksgiving week, our whole family. You would, whatever you caught, you'd bring it back to the hotel restaurant, which wasn't really a hotel restaurant, it was a little place. And they would cook up your dinner, and it was just, great memories. Got my first marlin, my first sail, my first rooster fish.
You are serious.
Dorado, yeah.
Yeah. Is there a fish you like to catch versus a fish you like to eat? Or, I mean, which
I
one do you like?
I love catching a good tuna. Mm-hmm. That's kind
That's
of
a fighter.
My
and they're the fighters.
And Dorado is probably one of my favorite to eat.
Yeah.
Which is mahi mahi.
Dorado.
Rooster fish are fun to catch, but they're not the best eating. We used to fish off the beach here in La Mission, and every once in a while we'd hook into a halibut, and that was pretty fun. Corbina and the rocks. So yeah, it's.
Well, getting back to La Mission.
To Baja by horse.
Yeah. We're jumping all over the place. And people who have made their lives here. You said you've been coming here for 60 years from when your parents first brought you here. So you didn't get too deep in the places you like to go, but we'll save that for another time.
Yeah. I'm pretty much here where I like to go.
So this is a pretty nice spot. Exactly. And with the water being here, there must have been people here, right here at your ranch, for as long as there's been people here in Baja.
Oh, yeah.
And can you tell me a little bit about the native people who've been here? I'm assuming you found some artifacts.
Artifacts.
Arrowheads, something.
Arrowheads. We've got some
She's
fossils.
Pointing to one right now, a fossil. And
up here, you've got what they call the Mesa de Indios, and there's a hike that you can do. That's on the other side, but oftentimes I will take people and we'll park the horses and we'll find clams, petrified clam shells. And oh, that's a whole nother thing, because didn't we all want to be an anthropologist?
Sure did. We sure did.
When we
Absolutely.
Were little. So I let people live out that dream for a moment up on the mountain. I don't know. I'm pretty sure if I panned for gold, I might find some. Who knows?
I think you found gold here already.
You're right. I did. I did.
All right, so I'm going to say, we're going to let the horses fill a little atmosphere here. I thought they were going to come back for another round. They just left left an opening for me to speak.
They must have found some grass.
Yeah, so again, getting back to the native people and this the feeling of this land, it is special.
Ugh.
It really is special, and it's quiet here. I mean, eventually you'll hear a plane flying over. But we've heard nothing but the rustling of the wind and the leaves and the horses.
You probably won't even hear a plane. It's very rare, although there has been a slight shift of a flight pattern that we laugh. We're like, oh, Mexico City. Oh, Cancun. But yeah, no. It's pretty darn quiet. You'll hear birds and cows and horses and dogs. And, there's quite a bit of wildlife. We've got bobcats, mountain lions, lynx, some of course are interchangeable. Puma, the largest that will take down a calf or a baby horse. And then we've got foxes, coyotes, and that's about it in the way of predators out here. And you learn to live with them and they learn to live with you. I have no...
You're not
interest
worried.
Of yeah. killing anybody
right,
or
right,
anything.
Right.
So
rattlesnakes, of course.
Rattlesnakes, yes. You'll see my door is lined with a couple that
got a couple
got
skins
too close
there
to my horse.
Right, and that's vaqueros take care of that stuff. You don't have to worry about that. But
on occasion, I've run into some by myself and had to kind of intervene. But
okay,
it's not my favorite thing to do.
And so, being out here, no cell, 1,000 acres. Do you get worried?
No. No. I know all my neighbors, and I also am, growing up in La Mission, I have a pretty vast amount of friends that...
And skills.
Well...
You can take care of a lot of things.
Yeah, I am the queen of Chicanada. You don't have a Home Depot you can run to, so you got to makeshift whatever you need to patch a hose, to fix a pipe, to fix a, I can kind of do it all. The people I'm very fortunate are friends of mine, and they look out after me. I truly believe, like at the Cabalgata last weekend, there were 320 riders. And I mean, I got so many hugs and how are you and love you and miss you and da 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 from fellow ranchers and fellow vaqueros that it does fill my heart at times to know how many people out there that I've met along this journey that I care about and care about me. So in that regard, no, I don't worry. And if that's the way I go, then I guess that's the way I go. I can't live like that. So.
And you had a recent experience, fell out of a tree, bumped your head, broke your thumb.
Yeah, that was me trying to be cute like the 30-year-old actress on the ride that was doing yoga. I thought, well, I can do that. I'm 60-something. So bring it on, tree.
60-something is the new 30-something.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Yeah. So anyway, the tree won. But I got back on my horse and rode down and went to Red Cross. And they're like, oh, no, you go stateside. So, yeah, we got all fixed up and continued doing my rides. My girlfriend's covered for me while I couldn't.
While you had your handle.
While I couldn't lasso.
You couldn't lasso, yeah. Exactly.
I can't lasso still.
Speaking of 30-year-olds doing yoga, you've had some celebrities coming through. Can we toot your horn for a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's all literally just me being me. Beyonce was on the beach, managed to get my horse into that music video with she and Jay-Z. I did a thing with International House Hunters. I did 2 years of horse wrangling for Fear the Walking Dead. I have one of my favorite people of all time is Jen Landon, who plays Teeter on Yellowstone, who rides with me. There's been quite a few. I've done some music videos out here, the Lucy Ring. Of course, they always try to give me a part. I'm like, no, I'm better in the background. But it's fun. It's all fun. It's all good. And it's not my, if I happen upon it, yay. But it's not something that I go after. So I figure every one of my riders is a celebrity in my book.
Right. And if Beyonce's at the beach, you might as well say hello.
Hey, there were helicopters. I thought, you know what? Lexus or horse? Jumped on my horse and the rest is history.
Well, what's on offer here? How do people find you? How does this whole vetting process work if somebody wants to come and fall in love with you in person, see the ranch, take a ride, maybe spend the night on the couch next to the fire, maybe leave with the puppy? Did I say puppy?
Oh, did you say puppy?
I didn't say
puppies. We don't have puppies? Oh, okay.
Secrets. Those puppies will be all grown up before these things,
yeah.
This podcast
so
comes out.
So a lot of people that find me from like reviews on Yelp and Google. I have a 5-star review and they'll, you know, because I always ask people, how'd you find me? Frankly, I love my return clientele. It is about 75% of my business, which I love because then I don't have to vet them and I don't have to, you know, oh, yeah, you bet. Yeah. Oh, you want? Okay. Same horse, same dude. Da, da, da. Oh, you want to advance a little? You want to go up? Because last time you were a beginner, now you're a full-fledged vaquero, you know, so they want to go up a notch. But so basically they send me an email or WhatsApp because, as you know, I don't have cell phone out here. And then we go from there. I get their size, their height, their weight, and their experience level. And I have my whole little system of working out how to get everybody properly and safely on the correct horse. A lot of people say, oh, I'm experienced. I immediately kind of go red flag. And make sure by asking some questions that they're really experienced. So if you come and say you're experienced and you get on the wrong side of the horse, I kind of look at the boys and we go, okay. And we do a little switcheroo. I think people are used to not understanding the work that goes behind me choosing the proper horse to make the experience the ultimate. And so they think, oh, I'm going to get this horse that doesn't move and it's not been fed. And it's my horses will eat before me. Trust me. They are very well taken care of. I have a vet. I have everything. I have 30-year-old horses. So in that regard, you know, they have to trust that I'm going to take care of them and make sure that their experience. I want them to have an awesome experience.
Absolutely.
So I wouldn't put – I don't have an – bad horse, but I wouldn't put them on a horse that was too much for them, and I wouldn't put them on a horse that was not enough for them. And we have different rides. We go off-roading. If you're, you know, if you've been vetted and you've come and you've, okay, fine, this person actually does know how to ride, boom, we hit it and we hit it hard. And it's fun.
And you'll move a little cattle, something, if you can
move
up the ladder. If you can move up the
ladder, that's definitely.
That's 3-4 trips. You get the okay. You can move into the cattle ranching portion of the ride.
So then we'll go out and we'll find the cattle and we'll move them in. And then twice a year I do where we bring them all in and we put them through the chute and all the cowboys and learn how to lasso. All my cowboys will help you too. I've got some, you know, metal cows. And we practice lassoing at the end of the ride if that is something that you want to do. You know, we always have lunch here after the ride. So I do what I call carnitas crack because I know you'll be back for it. It's so good. I call my guy. He cooks it up. I pick it up. We have fresh carnitas that are to die for. If you have vegetarians, I have, you know, different, be it chili rellenos or quesadillas or whatever. There's always a cooler full of beer and
pretty nice way to spend a day.
Yeah.
Or a couple of days.
Yes. And I usually save the beer for after the ride. Actually, I always do for safety reasons.
Of course.
If somebody comes and they're not, you know, they've drank too much, they don't go
they
riding.
Can't ride.
You have to have some facilities with you when you mount a 1,000-pound animal.
For sure, you have to have your faculties.
Yes.
You gotta know what the heck you're doing. Even if that horse is well selected and it's a 2-speed automatic power steering piece of cake,
Lexus
drives itself.
Yeah, drives its. Oh, okay, Tesla. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So no, I am very, very into safety, and you know, and it's interesting out here. The horses have a job, so when we're on the trail, the horses know that they've got this job to do, and they're not, a lot of times people want speed and all of that. I go, you know what, there's other people that do speed and all of that. This is about a journey. This is about something that will change your life. And if you want to go on a ride and see some deer or, you know, wildlife, or just right now, it's kind of like a super bloom. I don't know if you noticed.
It's green everywhere. There's water everywhere.
The orange are poppies.
Oh, beautiful.
I wish I could take you guys so bad. Fields of poppy right now. And after the poppies, there'll be lupin. And after the lupin, there'll be mustard. So you'll go from orange to purple to yellow. And you'll ride in mustard as high as you and the horse. I mean, it's beautiful. There's lakes up there right now. Thank you for the rain. I'm never going to complain about rain. Yes, it makes the road difficult, but we need it.
We do. Bring me back to slow. So there's something special. You said people like to go fast, but going slow is something special. We're going to go out on that. Your thoughts after all these years on just slowing down.
Slowing down. That's why I moved out here, was just to slow down and enjoy the journey. You know, it is not about... It's not about the speed. It's about the beautiful stuff around you. And if you take time to enjoy it, and I mean, you could get off the horse and lay down in a field of flowers and smell it if you want. And people get it. Once they do it, they get it. They don't need to go fast anymore. I mean, you know, obviously there's some spots where we do that too. But people don't come here to race. It's not what it's about.
Well, Slow Baja approved.
Rancho
La Pila. You got to get here. Baja by horse with Marty Harriman. It's been a real pleasure. She's super responsive. Shoot her a note. You'll get 15 back.
Yes.
So instructions, details, everything, it's right there. So Slow Baja approved. Get out here. Take a ride while it's still green and beautiful. Marty, thanks.
Thanks for
the coffee and thanks for the afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. It was a absolute pleasure to meet both Christopher and yourself, Mike.
Saludos, amiga.
Salud. Our coffee's cold.
Mine's done. All right. Thanks. It's a wrap.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Marty Harriman at Rancho La Pila, Baja by Horse. She's an amazing woman. You know, these, they're on YouTube now. You can watch them. You can watch me talk to these people. Not all of them, but most of them. And Sam Hurley's cutting together some great videos. So head over there and check it out
And if you're thinking about booking a vacation, it's BajaByHorse.com. That's also the Instagram. And I think you can find her on Facebook at Rancho La Pila, L-A, second word, P-I-L-A. And again, Marty Harriman, I fully believe in the disconnect to recharge. All right, if you like what I'm doing, head over to slowbaja.com, hit the donate button, drop a taco in the tank. It really does help me keep this show on the road. Doing these things in person, driving down dirt roads for 45 minutes south of the border is an investment, and most folks aren't willing to make it. I think it really is meaningful, but I do ask you to help. Buy a taco, drop a taco in the tank, keep the show on the road. And if you don't have any tacos jingling around in your pocket right now, I get it. I do. I really do. Head over to Apple or Spotify and drop a 5-star review and say a few words about why you listen to the show. It really does help folks find the show. And it doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost you anything to be nice, is what my mom used to say. It really doesn't. So drop that 5-star review on Apple or at Spotify. And while you're at slowbaja.com, you can go over to the store. Hats are in. Get yourself a fresh hat. Rep Slow Baja. And you Dodgers fans, there's a very limited supply of royal blue and white Slow Baja hats. So if you love Baja and you love your Dodger blue, you can put the two of them together. But do not delay. If you see them on the site, buy it, because they'll be sold out in no time. All right. Well, I'll be back next week with something fun. And until then, we're going to talk about Hall of Fame nominee. She's almost inducted. Her induction is next month in September. Mary McGee's pal, Steve McQueen, he made a few movies. He loved Baja. You know what he said? Paraphrasing here, folks. I am paraphrasing. He said Baja is life. Anything that happened before or after is just waiting. You know, I'm a minimalist when it comes to Baja travel, but the one thing I don't leave home without is a good old paper map. My favorite is the beautiful, and I mean beautiful, Baja Road and Recreation Atlas by Benchmark Maps. It's an oversized 72-page book. It's jammed with details. It brings the peninsula's rugged terrain into clear focus. Get yours at benchmarkmaps.com. In fact, get two. One for your trip planning at home and one for your Baja rig. And while you're at benchmarkmaps.com, you got to check out all their other atlases. I think they're up to 17 now, including British Columbia. They've got folding maps. They've got digital maps. They've got giant wall maps. My favorite, and I've got it up on my wall right here at Slow Baja HQ, is the 30-inch by 46-inch Baja wall map. It's so great to just look at one thing and see the entire peninsula there. I love it. Benchmarkmaps.com. Slow Baja approved. Huge news, folks. Huge news out of Ensenada this week. Cerveceria Transpeninsular has added Slow Baja to the summer tap list. I can't believe it. That's right. You can walk right in to Cerveceria Transpeninsular and order yourself a cold and frosty Slow Baja on tap. And that's what I'm going to be doing this weekend. I'm heading to Baja this weekend to pre-run for the Slow Baja Vintage Expedition. I'm going to stop right there in Playitas de Ensenada, right next to the Hotel Corral and Marina. And I'm going to walk right in and I'm going to say, hey, bartender, I want a Slow Baja Cerveza. And he's going to pour me one. And Colin, the good-hearted owner of Cerveceria Transpeninsular, said he's going to drop a couple pesos in the tank for every Cerveza he sells this summer. So you buy yourself a cold, frosty Slow Baja beer. That helps Slow Baja stay on the road, bringing you these great podcasts. It's win-win. All right, I'll see you down there. Cerveceria Transpeninsular, limited time only this summer. Get yourself a Slow Baja on tap.